2017, the well of Living Hope is bubbling up. It's bubbling up. The well that's been covered, it's bubbling up, and it's going to blow up, and it's going to blow away all the debris of hurt, the obstacles, and it's just going to just bubble it up all away, and it's going to become a river that flows. And then this is what he said, and that river is going to flow, and it's not going to be the river that after a while fades away. But it's going to be the river where further you go, deeper and wider, it's going to become, and it's going to give life to wherever it goes. Powerful. You receive that? You receive that? But today we're going to focus on that one section. He says, the well, your well is bubbling up. It's bubbling up right now. I don't know if you could sense that in your spirit. It's bubbling up, and God is about to remove those debris that keeps you from seeing right. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at two places. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. And then after that, we're going to look at Numbers 13:33. Okay? So starting with Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 2, it says, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Flip to Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. It says, there we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were. Father, I pray today that you would open our eyes to see you for who you are. Help us to see things for what they are, to see us, ourselves, for who we are, Lord. God, I pray that you would take the glasses of pain and woundedness that keeps us from seeing rightly, Lord. We want to see right, because when we see right, we feel right. And when we feel right, we do right. So make us right by seeing right today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. So I'm so, Benjamin and I and Mickey and Krista, we're so excited about this journey to wholeness that we're taking our whole church through. What we want is wholeness. And the wholeness is not the goal. We want what's beyond the wholeness. And Benjamin talked about, yeah, if there's holes in your ship, yeah, you want to patch it up. You want to fix the ship. But that's not the end. We want the ship to go into the ocean. Sail. That's what you were made for. So what we're excited is for empower every one of you to reach wholeness and to reach your destiny, to go out into the ocean of this world in his power, right? So one of the things that I feel like that's going to be really, really powerful is for you to individually commit to this process, that you don't see Sundays as just Sundays. You know, you go to church and you receive a word and hopefully it's good and hopefully I could apply it. No. I want you to see every Sunday as your step towards your wholeness. That means you got to commit. You got to commit, right? You got to come, you got to receive, you got to join community group, because in community group, you're going to really discuss this together, and you're going to empower one another to reach wholeness. Amen? Amen. The key is this, like I prayed, you do not see reality as what they are. I want you to ask your labor, are you sure you're seeing right? Come on, ask. Are you sure? Come on, you guys, look at me. Are you sure? When you are offended, are you sure? Are you sure? You know, you're seeing right? Are you sure? When you're fighting with your roommate or husband or wife or mother or father or friend, are you sure you saw right? Are you sure? We do not see things as they are. We don't. None of you. Nobody. Until after this Sunday. Okay? We do not see things as they are, but as we are. Okay? We do not see God as he is, but as we are. We do not see others as they are, but we see them as we are. We do not see situations. You know, last week when that thing happened, you do not see situations for what they are, but as you are inside. You see, your internal matrix will manifest in your external reality. Okay? Whatever is inside of you will come and manifest outside. If you think everyone's going to reject you, and even if everybody wants to become your friend, guess what? It's going to manifest, and you're going to be rejected by everybody, not because they're rejecting you, because you think they're rejecting you, and so your experience is going to be rejection, even if they're not rejecting you. You see, as you are inside, not for what they are in reality. Today, God wants to take off that perspective, that thing, the woundedness, the pain. You see, every one of you, you have a filter around your heart, and it keeps you from seeing things for what they are. If you think you're not valuable, if you think you're insignificant inside, you're going to see how people treat you. And you're going to say, see, they don't think I'm important. See, Chris had his birthday and I wasn't invited. If I was important enough to him, he would have invited me. When it wasn't even him who set up his birthday thing. You're not seeing right. You're not seeing right. God, have mercy and help us to see right. We have an incorrect view of God because you have an incorrect view of yourself. God never answers my prayer. Is that true? Or is that what you experience inside? The way you see and experience life is dependent upon what is in you rather than the outer situations. Your internal reality will determine your external reality. I want you to keep that in mind. I don't fit in this church. I don't have a dog. I don't like dogs. I'm allergic to dogs. I need to find another church. There's certain things that you think you're seeing right, but you're not seeing right. And today, God wants to help you to see right. You don't have to have a dog. You could still fit in. We still want you here. Your wound, your pain that's inside of you, your unresolved wound, pain, will make you make wrong interpretations. That's going to make you feel not correct. You hear me? Here, Numbers 13:33, Israelites, these spies that went, they said, we saw giants there. And in our own view, in us, what's inside of us, we were like grasshoppers. What's inside of them? They're grasshoppers. They're little. They're nothing. They're weak. And so the scripture says, we were to them. You place your view of yourself onto the giants. You understand? And when you place your view of yourself unto the giants in your life, you make those giants 10 times, 100 times bigger than for what they are. Now it's impossible for you to overcome those giants because they're so big. And then you feel like they see a grasshopper, not a powerful, excellent child of God. What's inside of you will manifest out. You understand? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. Here, Prophet Samuel talks to Saul, okay? King Saul, and this is what he said. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? Did not the Lord anoint you king? Over his nation, over his Israel. You see, the reality is God has anointed you. He chose you. He said, you are mine. I make you king. I make you queen. You are powerful. When God anointed you, you look into the mirror and say, I'm so little. When you live with that insecurity, you do more than you're supposed to do. You do things that is unnecessary and mess things up. That's what King Saul did. All he had to do was wait. And Samuel said he was going to come and they were going to offer sacrifices together. God anointed. God said, you're going to be king. But then, I'm so little. Nobody's going to follow me. But what are they going to think? What are they going to think? Everybody's afraid. They're going to all run away. Insecurity made him offer sacrifices without Samuel. Then when he was done, right when it was done, Samuel came. I thought you were going to come. And it seemed like he was doing the right thing. I'm just worshiping God. Is it wrong to offer sacrifices? I didn't feed myself. I didn't have a barbecue for my family. I offered it to God. It seemed right. Insecurity will make you do things so that your internal reality becomes reality outwardly. We project ourselves unto God. We project ourselves unto others. You know, everything that we're preaching right now for next, how many weeks? 7 more weeks, right? 8, 9. So 9 weeks. Everything we're preaching, we got it from Pastor Mike Perkinson. He's one of Benjamin's mentor. Okay. And this is an example that he gave us during our leadership retreat, and it's so perfect, so I want to tell this to you. He said when in his first church plant, he did discipleship. And so he allows 4 years. He chooses 11 people, and he disciples them every year. And this was 4th year. That means, they received a lot of discipleship, right? They learned a lot, so they should be mature, okay? And they were elders. They were like his top core leaders, right? And the fourth year of discipleship, it's called round table. And so they sit around and they read books and they discuss together. And so in this particular year, he gave them this book to read. And they were supposed to all read it. And they were supposed to come to the round table. And they were supposed to discuss it. But he said none of them read the book. Hey. And then during one of those sessions, the head elder asked him, this one question. And then he just looked at him and said, well, Chris, if you would have read the book, you would have known the answer. And then the elder's face turned red. The whole atmosphere of the room changed, right? And then people were like, oh, right? And so he stopped and he looked to the others and said, what did you hear me say? One person said, you're mad at us because we're not taking this discipleship seriously. And Mike said, that's not what I said. I said, if you read the book, you would know the answer. Somebody, we're wasting your time. Another hand, we have to take this discipleship more seriously. He said, out of that one phrase, if you would have read the book, you'd have known the answer. Five different interpretations came out of that. You see, they didn't see Mike in his words for what he meant. He said he wasn't mad. You understand? He said he wasn't passive aggressive. You know? You know how some Asian parents, right? They're like, you know, they say the words that comes out of their mouth and their facial expression is different, right? He said he wasn't doing that, right? But people, as they were, well, I'm nobody here. And so when I hear you say something, that's the filter I'm going to see things through, and I'm going to interpret and see and take what you say, what you do, through what's inside of me. Every one of us has a filter. That's why when you go into relationship after the honeymoon stage, right, you're like, what? It doesn't even make sense that you're saying that right now. What? Benjamin and I used to get into this biggest fight because he just won't get it. I would ask him to go get Jamba Juice. And when he bring it, I see both straws have been used. That means he drank both before I even got to taste. If you think I was important and valuable, you would save it for me to try it first. We were eating strawberries, and I see his hands going to the red ones fast, right? And I don't eat fast enough, and I'm eating the green ones. If you loved me, you would save the red ones for me. We react according to what is inside of us. Who knows? I used to call him, you selfish. Who knows? He's like, Sonny, I was trying to eat the overripe ones. So you could eat the fresh ones. I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, right. You eat the green one. But we don't know, right? Maybe he likes the green ones. We don't know. We don't see for what it is. We see as we are. Your wounds, your pain, they're like set of glasses that keeps you from seeing people, seeing things, seeing God for who he is, or even seeing yourself for who you are. Our experiences are filtered through our wounds. Just accept that. No, not me. No, just accept that. I'm the mature one in my relationship. No, just accept that. You and I have a filter. And that filter is your wound and my wound. When you hear something, you filter it through your soul. What's inside of your soul? The pain that is attached to your soul, your wound. You know, I told many of you, well, this is a lot of new people, so you may not know. So I'll tell you. When my mother was pregnant, my dad said, get an abortion. I already have two daughters, and I already have a son. So I don't want to take another chance of getting another daughter. Useless. So my mom's like, okay. But then my grandmother that's stopped them and said, what if it's a son? You're going to kill your son? What if it's another son? And my father said, well, I don't want to take another chance. I do not want a daughter. And my grandmother said, well, you know what? If it's a son, you could raise him. But if it's a daughter, I'll raise her. Ta-da! I grew up not knowing the Father's favor. And so deep inside, I always feel insignificant, like not necessary. I mean, I exist because I exist, not because I need to exist or I'm wanted. You hear me? So I have that filter inside of me. So when Benjamin and I fight, it's all like we could fight about anything. Money, sex, in-laws, anything. Whatever we fight about, if you go deep inside, deeper, 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 at the core of that fight is my wound of insignificance. I keep telling him, I need clean house. I cannot, right, like 2 weeks before we got married, I broke down. I said, I don't think I could marry you. I remember at Fuller on the street, I was on the street on my butt. I'm sorry, Benjamin, I just can't do this. But baby, why? You're just way too messy. I've seen your room. I've seen your bathroom. I would rather die than live like that. I thought I could make it happen, but I just can't do it. I will change. He got up. I'll change, baby. I will do anything for you. Singles, don't marry somebody believing that they're going to change. If you can't accept who they are right now, don't marry. You got to love them for who they are right now. So, you know, first few years of our marriage, right? I do most of the cleaning. I just want you to maintain. You know, when you make toast, you know, when you make bagels, there's crumbs. It's easy. Just get a napkin, you know, wet it a little bit. I tell him day after day after day. And at the core, when he doesn't, at the core, you know why I'm hurt? You don't think I'm important. This is important to me, and you don't think it's important. At the core of every fight, every hurt is, I mean, it shows everywhere in all of my relationships, with staff, with my own daughter, right? Sometimes when her favorite aunties come over, she's like, Mommy, go to your room. I'm like, I almost died giving birth to you. At the core, every one of us has deep inside a wound, pain, that you thought you dealt with. But if you're still not seeing right, if you keep finding yourself frustrated and angry and offended and hurt, that means they're still unresolved. And it's a filter, it's a set of glasses that keeps you from seeing right. You know, the other day, so every Wednesday we meet with Miki and Krista, okay? And so we said, okay, we're gonna take the whole church through this, or we're gonna take Miki and Krista through this, right? And so like we're processing it with them, right? So I'm talking to Miki, you know, I wanna show Miki that I care. I care about how you're doing. So before we get into, you know, what we need to talk about, I'm like, yeah, how you doing? Oh, yeah. And I'm doing this. And then Benjamin comes. He sits down. Okay, now we're going to, and he just, right? He just takes the whole meeting to what he wants to do. And so, and I was sick. I had shingles. So I was already sick. So I had a headache. And so I'm thinking, deep inside, unconsciously, I'm feeling, So what I'm doing isn't important. So I'm already feeling insignificant. My husband, the man of God, is making me feel insignificant. And so I'm like kind of shocked. I'm like, okay, right? So he's leading and he's talking to them. And once in a while he looks at me and you could tell, like, he's like, are you mad? Am I saying something? You know, and then you could tell, like, he wasn't, like, feeling all that great. And so, like, in the middle of the meeting, like, okay, I got to talk about this since we're talking about the wound. And so I said, well, Benjamin, the way you just came in made me feel insignificant. And then he's like, that's right, right? I thought you didn't like what I was saying because his wound is rejection and criticism. Like, no matter what he did, it wasn't right. Like, his father was so critical growing up, not anymore, that no matter what he did, it wasn't good enough, right? He cleans his room. His father, it's filthy. He takes everything out, right? No matter what he does, it's not good enough. So I'm, like, feeling insignificant right now by your action, and Benjamin's looking at my facial expression, like, not seeing what he caused, or my headache because of the shingles, right? And he's like feeling rejected and feeling criticized. So I didn't see him for who he is, and he didn't see me for who I am. That's just life. But the key is this. Friction is good. Look at your neighbor and say, friction is good. You see, what you long for, it's in the other side of the friction. If you don't feel comfortable and you leave this church, you don't get to enter into taste what you long for in a community. And then you go to another church and you experience friction. And before you get to experience what your heart longs for, you go to another church. Friction is normal. It's life. And in the other side of friction is the treasure, intimate connection that comes after. Today, can I just ask you for one thing? Can you stop taking things personally? Just choose. Can you just not get offended? Unless they say, I hate your guts. Unless those words come out of their mouths, I don't care how they act around you, don't think that they're actually saying that unless they're saying it. Even when they're saying it, they're probably saying it out of their pain, out of their set of glasses of woundedness, but not because of who you are. Now look at what we looked at from the beginning, right? Genesis. Cain's wound revealed his longing. Think about it. Cain's deep longing was to occupy a place of favor. I want to be important. I want God to favor me and my offerings. But in his experience, he was rejected by God. Verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. You know, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, Benjamin talked about this week. You know, we all have longings that are not fulfilled. We all have unfulfilled longings, okay? When we repress that longing, we're killing. It's a soul suicide. I don't care what you're feeling. Just repress it. If you reject that longing, well, that's not what God wants for you to have, so just reject it. Then it's a spirit suicide. Either way, you're killing yourself. But when we learn to come to God with our longings, he transforms our longing for him. Okay? Now, first step was last Sunday when you said yes. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be whole? Yes. Second step is identifying your wound. Mine's insignificant. What is yours? But how do I identify my wound? I'm not so sure. Well, what are some unfulfilled longings? Like I said, our unresolved wounds will keep us from seeing right. That's going to lead to wrong interpretation. That's going to lead to wrong emotions, right? Like, I can't wait to spend time with Cassandra. But Cassandra is thinking, I don't want to bother Pastor Sonny. She's too busy. I'm not important enough. I'm not in the high rank of leadership enough to spend any time. So her interpretation is wrong because I want to spend time with Cassandra. You understand? So the wrong interpretation leads to wrong emotions. And that wrong emotion leads you to wrong actions. I'm not going to call her. I'm not even going to come over when she says come over because she doesn't really mean for me to come over. She's just saying that to be nice. Which leads to relational disconnection. Because at the end of it, what we need is intimate relational connection in life. And today, God wants to help you and I to take off those glasses. So how do we identify our wounds? You got to identify three things, okay? One is, what is your unfulfilled longing, that desire? If you look at Genesis 3, okay, it starts with right before the temptation. The Genesis 3 starts with abundant provision. God made everything. And God said, Adam and Eve, you could eat everything except for this one tree in the middle, but everything else, like million other trees, you could eat it all. Abundant provision. And Eve here, standing in the middle of the garden, she's perfect. There's no wound. There's no nothing. She's perfect. And then serpent comes. How do you tempt a perfect being? How do you make a perfect woman sin to do something wrong? So Satan is getting smart, right? Because if you tell Eve, right, if you give Eve an impure desire, she's, no way. If somebody were to come to a married wife and say, ooh, you see that guy? You should go for him. We're like, what? No, I have my husband, right? When the enemy comes with the impure, of course not. You should steal that coach bag. That's like, it looks better on you. Of course not. Who's gonna? No. But the way is misunderstanding. If I could just make you misunderstand a little bit, then guess what? Then I could make you do wrong things. And so Satan goes to Eve and said, did God really say not to eat? You know, the God who provides everything, would he really say, don't eat this one? He makes you question, did God really say that to me? Did he really? And you're like, ooh, I don't know. Did God really tell you to go come to sons and daughters? Well, you know, I'm not feeling any connection over here. Did God really say this is the church for you? He makes you question a little bit. Eve did not. She wasn't deceived yet. She's just like the enemy in one question shifted her focus from abundant provision to one prohibition. My daughter, I have everything for you. And you could live life with abundant provision. The enemy comes and says, did God really say you cannot date an unbeliever? Did God really say you cannot just take her out and, you know, just make her feel good by, right? Did God really say he makes you cry? I don't know. I don't know. And then the enemy said, is God good? If he's telling you not to eat that, is he good? If God allowed this to happen to me, is he really good? Does he really love me? The enemy shifts your attention and makes you question. The thing is this, though. The way the enemy tempted Eve was, start with the pure. Don't you want to be like God? Who doesn't want to be like? Don't you want to be wise? Well, if you eat this, you're going to be like God. According to Mike, the problem was this. She was already like God. She was already wise. But the enemy just shifts a little attention, right? I say all this to say, if you really look at your core longing, it's pure. I want a godly family. I want a husband. I want a wife that I could worship God with. At the core of your longing, wanting a godly husband or wife, it's pure. But the enemy says, did God really? Is he going to really? Did he really? Are you sure he's going to provide? If you let that person go, even though you know he's not perfect, you're going to lose your chance. The enemy shifts your focus from abundant provision of God to that one prohibition. God says, not this, not yet. And the enemy torments the sons and daughters of God. He's smart, isn't he? How did Satan make Eve do the wrong thing? By first starting with the pure desire to be like God. What's your longing? What is that unfulfilled longing desire? Number one. Number two, what are the emotions that's associated with that unfulfilled longing? Sometimes as good Christians, we kind of shove those negative emotions down. Shift, right? But today, God wants you to acknowledge before him. Well, God, I feel angry. I feel angry that my friend's getting married. My other friends are having kids. And I'm not even dating. God, I feel ashamed that all my friends, like they're going up, you know, they're going up the ladder of success. And I feel like I still don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in life. God, I feel guilty. God, I feel angry. I feel rejected. I feel forsaken. What are the emotions that are attached to your unfulfilled longings? I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to just bring that out. And then next week, Mickey's going to deal with the lies of the enemy. You see, unfulfilled longing with those emotions, you're vulnerable now. You're vulnerable. And what does the verse 6 in Genesis say? That God comes to Cain and says, be careful. If you do right, don't you know you're going to be okay? But Cain, be careful. The sin is waiting by the door, and his desire is to have you, but you got to rule over. God is warning us. You see, you're vulnerable right now, but I have given you power to rule over. You could choose right. How do you choose right? By choosing to see right. By coming to God unashamed. I don't care how bad those emotions are, by acknowledging it before God and coming to God. What are the sins that are waiting for you on the other side of the door? That's something you need to identify. Not because you're... You see, when I prepare people for mission trip, I tell them in advance what the enemy is going to say in their minds once on their, they're on mission field. They're going to say, you wasted your money. They're going to say, you don't belong here. You don't know what you're doing. Right? All these. I prepare our people in advance, right? So it's good for us to, what are some potential sin that's waiting for you on the other side? Sexual immorality, murder, hatred, disillusionment, unbelief, right? There's so many. The enemy is waiting, and as soon as you take one step, he wants to devour you. But when you identify it, you say, uh-uh, no way. No, I'm not falling for that. If you're not seeing as they are, then you become a tool in the enemy's hands. That you, a child of God, a mighty anointed man and woman of God, can become a tool in enemy's hand to bring division in the house of God, to speak lies to your brothers and sisters. If you're not aware, you could be the tool of division and pain and hurt. Today, God wants you to come before him. And he's not asking you to be perfect. He's not asking you to understand everything. Only thing he's asking is this. Come. Come tell me what your wound is. What are you feeling about that unfulfilled longing? What are you feeling, daughter? What are you feeling, son? Come just acknowledge it in my presence. What do you want? What hurts you? What are you afraid of? God is saying, just come and release it. You see? Because just like Pastor Robert Daniel said, if you don't know how to do that before God, you're going to do it in the wrong way to the wrong people in the wrong context. When I don't know how to come to God, God, I want true revival. But I'm so sick and tired of not seeing true fire of God. Why? I want to see kingdom come, God. If I don't know how to do that before his presence, you know how I'm going to be like? I'm going to be like, look at that church. Look at that pastor. I should just quit. You understand? But when I learn how to come to God, God, I want to see revival, but I feel like it's me. I feel like I don't know how to possess it, God. When you come to God with your wound and the emotions that's associated with that unfulfilled longing of yours, God, you are able to release it, and God can touch your heart. And God can remove that wrong perspective so that you could see right. Oh, you wouldn't have given me this desire if you weren't going to use me to release revival. Oh, you're hiding me in the season because if you reveal that right now, it will destroy me. It's because you love me. When you learn to come to God, he helps you to see him for who he is, helps you see for who you are, and he empowers you to see others for who they are. You know what? You can choose to see right. I want you to stand up. Can we have worship team back here? I want you to do that right now. I want you to stand up, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. You pray, God, what is my core wound? What keeps me from seeing right? You know, when I don't really deal with this, acknowledge this, I end up hurting the very ones that I love. You don't know for how long I tormented my own husband. And you don't know how often my own husband hurt me because he wasn't aware. And even when we are aware, if we don't know how to come to God, it still comes out wrong. So today is a safe place. Don't wait for another week. right now, ask him, Holy Spirit, will you show your sons and daughters the very place in their soul? God, show us, God. Show us our pain, our wounds. And will you help us, Holy Spirit, to release it before you? There's no judgment. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You could come to him and say, God, this really hurts. God, this really sucks. Come on. Come on, come before him right now. Where you are. Where you are. I want to ask him, God, take away this filter. God, remove this filter that keeps me from seeing right, Lord. God, I want to see right. I want to see you right. I want to see myself right. I want to see others right, God. I want to see my church right, Lord. God, remove the filter right now. God, remove this wound glasses, God. This set of glasses, Lord. Take it away. Take it away. Come on, release it right now. I want you to speak to him. He's right there, right there, right in front of you, right next to you. He's saying, it's okay, daughter. It's okay, son. I will not judge you. It's okay. I want you to tell him, Papa, I really want this. Papa, I really long for this. Papa, I feel like it's wrong for me to want it again. However you feel, wherever you are at, I want you to just release it, express it before God. So God, right now, next few minutes, let your divine touch come upon every heart. Will you lead every son, every daughter, God, right now, to acknowledge before you. To receive the new set of glasses that empowers us to see right. We thank you, God.